Welcome to Civil Defense Radio with your host, Preston Schlankhofer, where we talk about all things civil defense. Civil defense is about building community resiliency by becoming better informed, prepared, and organized to meet whatever disaster might affect you, your neighborhood, and your community. There are many threats on the horizon, yet we cannot rely on true and accurate media coverage of many of these issues. These threats are propagated from the mainstream media seeking to tell only one side of the story. In fact, this propagation can even be considered biased propaganda. This is a legitimate threat to you, your family, and our nation, and here on Civil Defense Radio, we seek the facts that others leave out. Remember, your tomorrow may depend on today's preparedness. Now, here is your host, Preston Schlankhofer.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Civil Defense Radio. I am your host, Preston Schlankhofer, coming to you from the Strategic Command and Control Center, deep within the Civil Defense Radio bunker. It is great being with you again this week, and I hope you enjoy this episode of Civil Defense Radio. This week, we will discuss techniques of surviving a solar vortex and more. It is a pleasure to have back with us again for, I don't know, sixth or seventh time, but never enough, Jonathan and Kyleen Jones, the Provident Preppers. And since they have been with us so many times, we will dispense with the long introductions and just welcome them to the show. So, Jonathan and Kyleen, welcome back to Civil Defense Radio. It's great having you again.
Hello,
thank
Preston.
You so much.
It's good to be with you.
Yes, yes, yes. It's always fun with you guys. And I learn a lot, too. And I know my friends out there listening are going to be paying close attention to what we're going to be talking about today. So last week, much of the nation from Washington State, Oregon, to Texas, and the East Coast have been affected by what they are calling a polar vortex. This is a unique phenomenon that supposedly occurs every 100 years or so. But it was enough to throw much of the nation into major crisis because of the extreme cold, snow, and ice that it left in its wake. Here in Virginia, where the Civil Defense Radio bunker is, was affected and the driveway was covered in ice. But that is usual for residents of Utah like yourselves.
Yep.
So using the solar vortex as one of those many man-made and naturally occurring low-frequency, high-impact events, what and how should one do to prepare for such rare events?
You know, this morning we just released a post, and the video will come out later today, but it was 8 important lessons from the freak Texas storm that left millions without power. And one of the first lessons was to prepare for the unexpected. Even my 15-year-old son, when we were doing research, and I'm answering just literally hundreds and hundreds of comments on our YouTube channel with people saying, you know, how they were suffering and being without water and power and what to do. He said, Mom, this is a really good lesson. We need to prepare for the unexpected. We need to prepare for things that don't usually happen here. So where we live, I mean, this storm would have been nothing because we have all the systems in place to be able to take care of that. But if you regularly have 80-degree weather and suddenly you're below freezing, you know, 10 degrees, it changes everything because they didn't have snow plows to go and clear things. And some people didn't even have winter coats because that's not the area they live in. And so we were just kind of talking about, okay, prepare for the unexpected. What things do we need to prepare for? Now, in our area, it doesn't get super hot. I mean, sometimes we have a few weeks where we're over 100 degrees, but for the most part, we never get those really hot temperatures like you do in Arizona of 120 degrees, right? And and we're woefully unprepared for something like that. And so we really need to look at things that we might not have really expected and go ahead and purchase the supplies and gain the knowledge that we need to be able to weather whatever that storm is.
And this not only applies to natural kinds of things, but there are going to be some man-made things and have been, but usually we think of these as natural events, but there will be man-made events and financial events and other things that, you know, right now people would say, well, that's outrageous. That would never happen. But these things do happen, and they will happen in our future.
Well, the Wuhan virus was one such man-made slash naturally occurring. It didn't come from any bats, I'll guarantee that. But a lot of evidence is coming out to debunk that story. But that's one event, and look what it did to the nation, actually to the world. It's almost collapsed economies all across the globe. And that's what these unique low-frequency, high-impact events are all about, right, Jonathan?
Exactly right. Those are some of the things that we really need to take a look out there. And sometimes, you know, we're not going to know what those specific things are, but we know the kinds of things that we need to do, and we need maybe some reminders to do them. But if we're prepared, then these things just go so much more successfully.
Yeah. So, for instance, a year before the pandemic hit, Jonathan and I were concerned about a pandemic. And so we created a video and we made a post and we looked at the preps very carefully about what we needed to do to prepare our family in the event that a pandemic occurred. And it was interesting for us to see, after we had all of these preps in place, where we still had the holes when the real event occurred.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there was so much that was completely out of our control. But we were in a situation physically and financially where we could just weather the storm from home while we were able to stand back and see what happened while everybody else was rushing around getting toilet paper or whatever. We were able to just really hunker down a little bit and wait until the timing was better to go out and be with people and figure out what's really going on. Because there were just so many different stories out there. And it also taught you that you can't believe what you're hearing on the news, right? It's hard to find really good sources for what's really going on and what you really should be doing.
Yes, correct. If our friends out there want to know more, my last few shows talk quite a bit about the information warfare and the psychological operations that are being conducted against you and me. So this polar vortex, in my mind, it's just a symbol for being prepared in your family, your neighborhood, and your community to be able to react to these changing environments, which, you know, as long-term preppers like you guys are, it's there was lessons to be learned.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
You know, this has, I think, too many people, they go through an event and then they don't think about it after everything is back to normal. And that's one of the things that we really need to do, is evaluate our situation that we were in during these practice events, because there's other things that are coming, like what the founder and CEO of the World Economic Forum suggested, a cyber pandemic that would knock out power grids. So that would be a long-term event. And so we got to think about how we react to these short-term events and how we are prepared for them and how we should prepare and be ready for the next event.
Absolutely. And I think history shows this. You know, we have a crisis. Take 9/11, for example. Everybody gets in this mode of, okay, we need to do better. We will do better. You know, everybody comes together, but then it all fades away and people go back to, you know, their natural, normal lives. And they kind of forget what lessons we should have learned. And you're right. There are some big things on our horizon. I personally believe we're going to have another pandemic, one that's going to be much more serious. And if we haven't learned from this one, you know, we're going to struggle to get through the next one. Hopefully this happens on all levels. And I so much appreciate you mentioning community and neighborhoods, because, you know, we can't be prepared unless our neighbors and our community are prepared. Together, we can get through these things. But we have to learn, as you mentioned, we have to learn what we need to learn in the process and make sure we don't lose that.
Well, one thing that I've noticed with the groups that I've helped get started out here is that this Wuhan, it made hermits of everybody. So they lost the sense of community and the sense of what civil defense is all about. It's getting out there. You know, sure, you would go out there in a protected, but you know, you can safely talk to somebody from a distance if that was required. Sure. And see if they need help. And you know, maybe there's somebody in your neighborhood who's shut in and you don't know it if you're sitting in the house watching TV and doing your own thing. So it takes getting out of your comfort zone, even during a crisis, especially during a crisis, in order to bring that level of assistance to the people around you.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you, Preston. And that is one of the things, the great takeaways. Now, look, now I've got a frog in my throat. It's one of the great takeaways from this pandemic is that we need each other. We desperately need community. And when we are divided, we lose so much. And so we've got to find ways to be able to stay connected and take care of each other and do it safely, right? If there is a problem, we need to be realistic and do it safely, but don't be afraid. Don't live our lives in fear.
Yes, I agree. And during this whole thing, my wife and I haven't really been afraid of anything because we believe we understood what was going on. And so this has taught us a few things, though, about ourselves and, you know, some about what we need to have to be prepared. But because we were pretty well prepared, plenty of toilet paper and and hand sanitizer. But, you know, there's going to be studies that'll be published with a name to the psychological situation that being locked down like this has caused.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you've done some research in some of your past things that talks about, you know, if somebody is starved or put on minimum rations and water. Have you looked into anything on the mental aspects of isolation and things like that?
You know, I haven't specifically done that. I have done, my degree is in marriage, family, and human development. With an emphasis on human development. And so a lot of the education was on sociality, right? And the interaction, and especially on how children, their development is significantly hampered by withdrawing them and not having appropriate social interaction. And so just extrapolating on that and seeing what has happened to our children and personally me, just being removed from all of this, that has huge long-term effects. We're just divided. We need to unite. We need to get out and be with our neighbors and help each other. I haven't done that specific research, but definitely we're going to have some serious issues come out of this. And I know the suicide rate has increased, right? Because it's really easy to become depressed and lonely and look at this and say, you know, it's totally hopeless. Life is never going to be good again. And that's actually one of the lessons that the final lesson in what we learned in Texas, right, from everybody, is that eventually the weather clears and power returns. It takes a while to restore life, but eventually we're going to have a great life again. It's not forever. And that's what we need to remember after this pandemic. Yes, it's been really hard and things have changed in ways we never would have imagined. And yet it's kind of like the polar vortex. Who would have thought that it could have gotten to this point? But eventually it might be a new norm, but we're going to be okay. And we're going to get back to normal. And it is worth waiting out the storm and till the sun comes out. It'll come out.
And I think that optimism is so critical. And one of the things that brings about that optimism is just doing the things that make us prepared, right? That gives us an optimism that, okay, we've done what we can do and we're going to get through this and we'll work together as family, as neighbors, as communities to get through whatever. But we have to have that optimism. We have to somehow help people see the light that it's going to get better.
Yes, yes, I agree. You know, I've watched many videos of people walking around without a mask in stores and stuff, and the fear and bullying that goes on with these people that are the mask police, so to speak, it's really a sign of the fear that this thing has created, actually more the media has created because of this, the media and the CDC and others have spiked the numbers, because a lot of these deaths were not because of COVID, but because of other underlying conditions, like they already had cancer or something like that. Because, you know, the common cold is gone, the flu is gone, the heart disease is gone, cancer rates have dropped because everybody dies of COVID now. So these numbers are not correct, and the fear is obscene, because there's a 99.998% of people dying at less than 70 years old. So it's unbelievable what is going on, and the way people are acting, it really makes you stop and think about how some people's belief system is faulty because of the way they act about all this.
You know, that's an interesting point. And I think it all comes down to the fact that we need to be kind to one another, and we just have to do the, you know, the not judge thing. I personally wear a mask, and the reason why I wear a mask is because for me, I have MS. So any type of infection is really bad for me and can cause permanent damage to my brain, right? Mm-hmm. And so it could make it so I could never walk again. So for me, I am very careful. And when we have family come visit, out of respect for my situation, they wear masks. But when I go out to the store, I don't require it of other people, right? I think we should all follow whatever local regulations are out there, because we believe in obeying the law. And if the law says this is something we're asking you to do, then we should do it, right? But I also think, like, it's horrible to have to wear a mask all day. It's horrible.
Yeah, it is.
It makes it so we can't understand what people are saying. It's difficult to communicate. Nobody can see my smile anymore. Right?
Nice smile.
Yeah, it sure is.
Thank you. I used to love going out, and I would just smile at people and tell them hello, just because it throws everybody off, right? To complete strangers. And there's no more of that kind of interaction, because you try and smile at somebody and there's no clue. They don't know what's behind the mask.
Yeah. Yeah. All you can see is the eyes. And
it's an interesting thing.
You know, that's very, very little. It's a part of communication, but it's very little, you know, compared to what your overall facial expression is. So,
yeah,
you know, communicating is tough in these environments. It's just very difficult. I heard that they're expecting by April that this whole thing's going to be down to nothing. And so if that's true, then I'll be very, very happy about that, because
that would be awesome.
I want normalcy. And this whole thing has been a mess, but it's a learning experience.
The other piece that I think is really important to mention, it's not just the communication with your face, but normally in our society, we are kind of a touchy society, and it takes, it's true. I mean, you go up to somebody and you shake their hand, or you're patting them on your shoulder. There are ways that we touch, and there are scientific studies proving that touch stimulates the brain to release oxytocin, which is very healthy, right? And mentally, it makes you much happier. And we don't have touch anymore. And it's so weird. Like, we had somebody come over just yesterday, and normally we would have walked right up, shaken his hand, hello, how are you? And yet now there's this, we don't touch. There's this at least
everybody,
6 feet.
And yeah, keep the distance.
And it's just, we're missing that human touch in our society. We really need that.
Yes, I agree. We still have some friends that we still hug. So,
and we do, right? I still hug all my grandkids and yeah, but I don't know. It's just so hard. So how do we prepare for the unexpected,
exactly,
right? That's what this is really about.
Yes.
How do we step back and say, okay, I've prepared for everything that I think could happen. What are things that I just, you know, that are going to blindside me? So this was one of those things, but, and weather is one of them. And I know, we prepare for some nuclear events, right? But I think in the back of most people's mind, a nuclear event really isn't anything that's really going to happen. Think about what would happen, have happened in Texas if instead of a winter storm, this was a nuclear event and we had radiation everywhere, mm-hmm. right? Are we prepared for something like that? And is it worth, the question is maybe, is it worth preparing for a risk that isn't as high as a winter storm?
Well,
and in my opinion, it is. I think if we love our families and we love our communities and we want to help each other, we kind of have to look at this broad risk assessment and say, you know, this is an outlier. This is not something that's usual. Maybe it's something that never has been experienced, but it's a possibility. And the point that I try to make people is that if we make our preparations appropriate, we're going to cover all these things. We're going to know what to do, at least to the best we can right now, but we will prepare ourselves for all kinds of things. But we do have to kind of take that comprehensive view of things.
Yes, I agree.
And that may sound exhausting.
Well, it could be daunting if they didn't have your book.
there we go.
Please give us a quick commercial on your guys' fantastic book. It's not just a book, it's a manual. And the website is an addition too. But go ahead and give us a little intro on the book, because it does set the foundations for being prepared for just about anything. And so that's one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about this subject with you guys, because you literally wrote the book. And so, Jonathan, you're correct in that if you're well prepared for the things that happen on a regular basis and a few non-regular events like this polar vortex, who would have saw that coming in South Texas? When I lived there for over 20 years, we never even thought about anything like that. But
right.
there are things that come up, and we have highlighted many instances of many threats on this show with various guests that that people should be aware of and have that in the back of their mind when they're doing their preparations. But go ahead and give us a little quick commercial on your great manual.
So the book is called The Provident Prepper, A Common Sense Guide to Preparing for Emergencies. And you're right. We wrote it so that it would be just this reference manual, right? And especially for me, like I was always looking up things and I thought, okay, I need a book that has everything in it. So that was the purpose behind that. And one of the things that we've heard from Texas is so many people want to start preparing now, like, and they don't know how. But on our website and on our YouTube channel, we have something called Newbie Prepper, and it's a 10-step program that walks the brand new prepper from start to finish so that they'll go from not knowing how to prep at all to being fairly confident in kind of a lower intermediate level by the time that they're done. And if we had somebody who could finish this program when this happened in Texas, they would have been so comfortable, right? Because they would have had systems in place to be able to be fed and to have clean drinking water and food and heat and everything that they needed to say, okay, I've got to hunker down for a week, but no problem because we're ready. We got this. One of the other things on a lot of the comments, they were talking about how the government should have come and taken care of us and when are they going to come? And I know that that's a mentality out there and I completely don't agree with it, but I think it's important to just realize for a second, there are millions of people out there that need food and water and power. And the government's not that big. It's just not physically and logistically possible for them to come and make sure that your dinner is made. There's too many things, right? And so self-reliance, you know, I just have to beat that drum. We need to be responsible for ourselves and our families and to take good care of our neighbors. And we also had fantastic stories about people who still had power or means to help others. You know, they were opening their homes and hosting these other people.
Great.
And there was a story about that a lady said about how they were chopping up fences for something to burn for some of their neighbors.
Wow.
Because they had nothing, and there was no more propane or kerosene or any type of fuel available to be purchased. The towns were out of gasoline, so there's nothing for the generators. And it's just such a good lesson in preparedness. Like, just be ready for anything and you're going to be okay.
And so, and our book helps people do that. And that was the main reason that we wrote the book, is people say, I'm overwhelmed, I don't even know where to start. And we have to break it down. And so this breaks it down into chapters on all these kinds of things, starting with the risk assessment. And when people ask me, you know, what risk should I prepare for? Well, look at your local area. What are you subject to? Hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, you know, what is it? And then what are some of the other bigger things? And I have people prepare for a grid down, long-term grid down situation, because I see that as kind of the worst case, and where you will deal with heat, you will deal with cold, you will deal with sanitation and all these things. And then the book breaks this down into pieces that you can manage. And there's action plans on our website so that you can go on for free and pull off an action plan and start populating it, start understanding what you need to do so that you can find yourself in a state of peacefulness and, you know, peace of mind when all these things happen. And that's the purpose of the book, is to break it down and help people get started and make progress.
Yes, it is a process, and it can be overwhelming. I know my wife and I, when we first started doing this, we were kind of overwhelmed. And, you know, we found some people that gave us some good advice and helped us along. And so that was very beneficial. And you know, that's one of the reasons why it's good to cover this topic, or, you know, various topics like this periodically on this show, because it reminds people that there are things that need to be done, and there's ways of getting assistance, like through you guys, your great YouTube channel, your book, and the stuff that we talk about on this show. So it's
and can I say something about that?
Sure.
Okay. Be careful where you're getting your information from, because there are a lot of dangerous ideas out there.
Mm-hmm.
And the most important thing is for you to be safe. And you just have to be really careful the source of your information. Don't believe just everything that's out there. Really do your research.
Yes. Yes. And use this polar vortex as a motivator, because people in Texas didn't expect to have ice and snow all across the state. I mean, even down into South Texas along the Mexican border, there was ice and snow, and people were freezing, and there were reports of people succumbing to carbon monoxide poisoning because they were burning stuff
Yes.
inside their home and not properly venting. So there's ways to do things, and there's ways not to. And we've covered this on our show a couple times, but I'm sure you guys cover it in your videos. And there's just so much information out there that is legitimate, because you guys have walked the walk and have tested this stuff when you're doing your videos and what you're talking about in your book. So, you know, you guys are some of the most tested, because you guys lived for 30 days grid down.
Yeah.
You know what's really funny is, because we've made all the mistakes, right? Because we've made so many mistakes, we've learned from those mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, sometimes Jonathan, he's kind of funny. I'll be writing something, he's like, oh, should we really tell people? And I'm like, yeah, that's totally the reality. Mm. We screwed up, and we're going to teach them not to screw up.
Yep.
And that's part of the process. I mean, that's if you look at life, that's the nature of life. We make mistakes, and if we learn from it, then we're better off.
Yes.
And that's the goal, is to learn from the mistakes, learn from others. We don't have to reinvent the wheel every time. Let's learn from good sources how to do things so that we don't have to make mistakes. Or if we do make mistakes, then we're smarter and we can help others too.
Yes. Yes. Well, that's going to have to be the last word. Civil defense equals resiliency equals survival. The top-down governmental approach to solve our community resiliency problem has failed us. We need a community-based, grassroots approach to solve this problem. To be resilient, it takes preparation, organization, and training to meet the needs of whatever situation we may find ourselves in. Civil defense helps reduce panic in a disaster, and this is why we strongly recommend establishing a community-based civil defense organization in your city or county in partnership with your local emergency manager and community leaders. These are the ones above you that are responsible. You're responsible for yourself, and then your community leaders and emergency manager are responsible for getting the community prepared for such events. So if you want to hold somebody accountable, look to that level of government to hold accountable. So let's start a conversation with the guide found on our resources page at our website at civildefenseradio.com. Be sure to check out our regular postings on Facebook at Civil Defense Radio, on Telegram at Civil Defense Radio Channel, on MeWe at Civil Defense Radio, and on YouTube at Civil Defense Radio Channel. I have deleted Twitter because the major censorship that happens with guys like me, and most of the items we post are important information about the many threats we see to our safety and security as a nation. However, when I find something funny, I will post that also. Please consider this information and use it wisely. I wish to thank you, our listeners, for being with us, and especially I'd like to thank Jonathan and Kylene Jones, the Provident Preppers. It's a great pleasure to have you with us again this episode. And so, please, be safe, be informed, be prepared, and may God bless you and keep you until next time.